Hey, hey, hey.
Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. And today I have with me your other host, Eric.
Hello.
And your other host, Carl.
What's happening, people?
So this is Carl and Eric at the same time.
Hi.
Isn't that great? We got a chance to have these two awesome guys on the same podcast at the same time to talk about what? Logan. So we got two old men.
What the hell?
Two old men to talk about an old man and another old man.
Yeah, see, that was feeling.
Isn't Hugh Jackman like twice my age? Come on.
I was doing good, but now my bunion started acting up, so I don't know.
Okay. So, Logan. So, I'm not going to say that I dislike Wolverine movies or Wolverine Hugh Jackman movies or anything like that. I'm just never really excited about going to see it. I remember at one point where I was all Wolverine all the time. And then at some point, his films get a little... I mean, they're not bad, any of them. They're always enjoyable. I feel like I've seen them all, and I can't say that, like, I've seen worse movies like Arrival. But we're not going to go there.
What?
No, do not get her started about the Arrival, okay?
You mean that really good movie that came out last year?
Yeah. That's the one I remember.
Yeah,
that's
the one Academy Awards excellent. Were wrong about everything this year. The Oscars or whatever they are. They were wrong about a lot this year, and even on air they were wrong about things. So I think they anyway.
So you're saying Moonlight shouldn't have won and Arrival should have won.
No, they were wrong and said they was like La La Land blur, and that was wrong. And then so I'm pretty sure somebody gave Arrival the wrong envelope, but nobody cared, and nobody corrected anyone, and so that's just how that went down.
So sad.
I'm sorry y'all was fooled into thinking that was a great film. But anyway, we're talking about Logan. So anyway, yes. Logan, to set it up, Wolverine films, and, you know, don't text me on Twitter about your opinions about Arrival because you listeners are wrong. It was not good. Anyway. I love y'all. Stop.
Anonymous post. Cat Ukraine. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, we're serious. So, I mean, they're fine. The Wolverine films. So when this one was announced that a new Logan film was coming out, a new Wolverine. I was just like, I don't know if I'm really excited to see it. I don't know, like, what else can they do with Wolverine and Logan and Hugh Jackman? What can be done? And then this film happened. And before we get into everybody else's opinion, because I want you to go first, I'd have to say that this was just a really, really great film. I enjoyed everything about it, most everything about it. I can't say I'm a really huge fan of children in films like this. But it wasn't as bad as, say, Iron Man 3. Right? But I enjoy the fallible hero coffin. He literally was too old for this shit. He was cranky, he was not our hero. You had Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard. Just kind of cranky. He wasn't as strong as he usually is. They were just old. They were poor. They were living in a silo in some weird desert place. I mean, Wolverine was he was doing limo driving, practically, I guess, maybe Uber or whatever. And I think that afforded him some freedom or whatever, just to kind of do what he wanted to do. But you just don't think of like your superheroes having a job, you know, and maybe like Patrick Stewart, Professor X, needing to be picked up and having his bedpan changed. These are superheroes, and we got a very human look at them, and it was just very different. And instead of being dark, it was very real, and as real as you can get with superheroes. And it made you think about your own mortality, even though, you know, you as yourself are not a superhero. And so I just enjoyed that, the way they explored that and they put it on display for us. It was very, very cool. Who wants to go next?
You got it, Eric.
It's a good movie. That's what I have to say about that. As far as you said, all the Wolverine movies are pretty good.
By comparison to others.
It's a bit, when looking at the whole X-Men franchise, the modern X-Men movie franchise, man, the first Wolverine is a bit dreadful in retrospect. At the time when I saw the movies, I thought, this is all right, but when you really get down to it, it's an awful movie.
No, wait, which ones are we talking about? Because I'm trying to figure out, are you including X-Men movies, or are you just talking about exclusively Wolverines?
No, I was speaking of the whole X-Men movie franchise.
So when you say the first one, are you talking about the first X-Men movie?
That, I was talking about the first X-Men. No, sorry. I was talking about the first Wolverine movie.
Okay, that's what I'm just trying to, okay. X-Men, so you're talking, there you go, okay, yeah. Maybe.
That's a dreadful movie. It's a really dreadful movie.
It gives good background, though. It gives good background.
It does, but it muddies, just like many of the X-Men movies, it muddies the canon. I'm not even talking about comic canon. I just mean just the movie universe canon. It's, as most people know, it's an utter mess.
You mean Logan? X-Men...
No, just, he's still talking X-Men. About the first one.
We were talking about the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie.
Okay.
But Logan is a great movie. I didn't really have any particular expectations going into it. The Wolverine, you know, the prior Wolverine movie, the middle one.
The one where he goes to Japan? Is that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one the wasn't Wolverine. Bad.
No, it was not bad. But going into The Wolverine, I had some fairly higher expectations at that point for the Wolverine movie. Well, yeah, I didn't think it could be as bad as the first Wolverine movie. and the buzz was relatively good, and I was kind of looking forward to the Asian vibe for the setting in that film. But as I recall, I liked the movie, but it didn't land, like, it didn't stick the landing for me, not with the ending, but I mean in terms of, I've brought this up before, I think on this podcast and on my movie podcast, like, when I watch what's supposed to be a summer blockbuster or something like that, something that's supposed to be an expensive movie, I want it to look as real as can be, you know, for film. And as I recall with The Wolverine, it suffered from what other wannabe summer blockbusters suffer from, which is there are many scenes that just really look blue screen or green screen, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of that. It takes me out of the movie when I'm watching and I can't believe that they're actually in the setting that they're supposed to be in or whatever. And there was a lot of that in The Wolverine. And I was actually surprised that Logan is actually directed by the same guy who did The Wolverine.
Really?
Because yes, because it doesn't seem like it.
No.
Maybe he.
It seems. Well, apparently he focused on different types of cinematic techniques. Like he was going for a whole different look for the Logan movie. So yeah, it's really interesting because I thought it was like a whole different person, has a whole different aesthetic. No, it's the same guy. He just It was his plan to go a different direction in terms of the look and feel of the movie. And it really works. It really works. Logan doesn't suffer from that. Like, it doesn't look like they really cut any corners visually. Now, I know it is a smaller movie, especially by X-Men standards, in terms of locations and visual spectacle, because you don't see a lot of actual powers or, like, lasers or, like, people flying. It's not like that. It's really toned down. But that said, it still looks really, really good. I was with it the whole way. Other major strong point for me with the movie is possibly my favorite thing about the movie or in the movie is Patrick Stewart and his performance and what happens with his character, Professor X, in the movie. And I was thinking about it. I think that is my favorite element of the movie. But I was thinking about Patrick Stewart. Everyone knows his reputation. Everybody knows what he's known for. And I was thinking, like, in his film career, this might be my favorite performance I've ever seen of him in a film. Now, I haven't seen every single Patrick Stewart film, but I think I've seen a fair amount. Film. Yes, in a film. Because in television, I think I've only seen him in Next Generation and a little bit of some Masterpiece Theater. I haven't really done his whole TV work, so I can't say that. But I've seen most of his films, and I think this is my favorite performance I've ever seen him do, where I was just like, this is perfect. Huh?
Why?
It's weird. Okay, this is going to... Because some of this may rub Stewart fans the wrong way. Because even though... I'll just use Star Trek as an example. Even though I really love the Jean-Luc Picard character and everything about him, to be honest, I never really liked Patrick Stewart's performance. Or I don't mean in totality I didn't like it, but I mean in general, it never felt right. Like, and this criticism might sound weak too, but he always felt, you know, like, a stage actor, like theatrical. It always felt like a theatrical performance.
He is.
In the universe. I understand that. I understand that. But it's like he's acting in a play when everyone else is acting in a TV show or in a Star Trek movie. That's how I've always felt about it. And it always, like, kind of threw me a little bit. Like, he's acting in a different thing or in a different medium than everyone else around him. I never hated it, but it just always didn't feel right. It didn't feel natural to me. It felt weird. And that's generally how I felt about a lot of his performances, in which I always thought, oh, he's so good, but he, in my mind, whatever I've watched him in before, he always seems like, oh yeah, he's that guy who does Shakespeare on stage, but it seems like that's his only mode when I see him in anything. Hmm. But I didn't really feel that way in this particular movie, Logan. I didn't really feel like, oh, this is stage actor Patrick Stewart. I felt like this is just him, like, being in this character, and this is, like, some great Professor X stuff, on screen. And in the times when they actually played with his stage acting pedigree, it actually, like, enhanced moments in the film. Like, when he was still being crazy in his wheelchair and he was reciting some lines. So that actually worked, and that was, like, a perfect usage. It was kind of cool to see him doing, like, being like a senile crazy man, like, quoting theatrical lines. That it perfectly worked for the scene and what was going on. So he felt more like an actual character in a movie within that movie's universe, more so in this movie than any time else I can think of, for the most part. So he was the best part. He was the best part. And all his emotional scenes that involved Professor X, they all worked for me. Like, and that was kind of the best thing. And I thought it was, like, a nice way to round out the character's arc throughout all the X-Men films. I thought that was the best part for me.
Cool. Carl?
Yeah. Well, just to back up, you know, Eric. The first thing is, I thought the X-Men movies were kind of, they were inconsistent from one to the other. They for all sure. had a totally different feel. So, you know, Kat, you were saying you didn't know what to expect when you went into an X-Men movie. But that's part of the problem. You know, you don't know what to expect when you're sitting down, because you like the character, but depending upon the movie, it's like sometimes the movie ain't even about him. It's his movie, and it's about everybody else, or it's about the history, or it's about somebody else. So, you know, it's hard to be a Wolverine Logan fan and watch Logan movies, because they always seem to go in a direction that you don't quite expect. The first one, you know, prequels never. I'm not a huge fan of prequels. You know, I like to keep moving forward, and whenever you do that retro kind of stuff, it takes you to places that you think you already know, and it stays within a container that you already expect. So, you know, the first movie, I thought it was a good, you know, background on him. But then, you know, I did not, you know, read all of the X-Men comics. I wasn't so big on Marvel back then. So, you know, I've heard that the timeline and what they did in the movies didn't quite match up with the comic books. So all I had as a, you know, movie watcher, and maybe some of the latter comic books, was what I saw in the movie, and it provided a little bit of extra insight. But I didn't feel like I really got closer to the character Wolverine. You know, it still felt cold and separate. And so when the second, you know, Wolverine movie came out, I was like, all right, okay, this time I'm really going to get into, you know, who is the Wolverine? What's the, now we're in Japan, you know, we got atomic blasts and, you know, and mob bosses, robotic mob bosses. And man, Eric, you hit a nail on the head where it felt like, you know, both Resident Evil and Underworld have this simultaneous effort of being big and grandiose, but it's something about the effects that look kind of cheap. You know, they're doing all of this stuff, and it's huge, and it's light, and it's lightning, and bullet time, but it always looks kind of cartoony. You know, it's quite right. Well, that's what you know, the Wolverine was like. I mean, is that Wolverine? I got lost.
Yes, track.
Wolverine 13.
That's right.
That's what that one felt like. So I'm excited because, hey, you know, we got samurai swords and lightsabers, for crying out loud, you know, and I was excited about that. But again, we don't really learn that much about Logan. And it's about everybody else, and it's about the technology that allowed him to exist. But still, you know, I'm not getting to meet Logan. And so finally, Logan rolls around. And so again, you don't know what to expect each time you see one of these movies. You know, is it the past? Is it the future? Is it Japan? Is it, you know, you don't know where it's going to be. So this one, you know, it started with Johnny Cash song? You know, it had that whole feel of it being terminal. And, you know, we knew that this is his last movie as Wolverine, or this, and this was going to be the end. And so
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know? Well, it seemed like that was kind of where they were going. And by the time it came out, he seemed to say something like that.
Yes.
But the point is, you know, I'm going, okay, this is last time. The movie's called Logan. Maybe we'll actually get to know Logan this time. And finally, I mean, all the X-Men movies, all the history, all the back, the future, everywhere else we've been, at long last, we finally get to sit down and get to know Logan. I mean, the fact that we see his tender side in two ways. We know that he felt a connection with Xavier all along. We've always known that, because, you know, Xavier kind of pulled him out and he was a lost cause. But hey, Xavier always had hope for him. And it always seemed like it was going one way, and begrudgingly, you know, you could see a little bit of that in Logan throughout the series. But in this movie, you know, finally, Logan is changing his bedpans. You don't get more dedication and more, you know, closeness, you know, than that. And sure enough, you know, he's got him in his water tank. He's you know, feeding him and giving him his medicine and trying to keep him safe. So finally, you get to see gruff Wolverine, gruff Logan, settling down, genuinely expressing an appreciation and a care for another. And it's powerful and moving to see. And then, of course, when we see his daughter come in, you know, that's a whole other dimension of that coming in. So it was just finally good. Cause, so, you know, because there have been a lot of questions, you know, throughout all of these movies. He's just been angry and frustrated and annoyed for the most part. It's entertaining, but you just wonder, you know, if he was put in a situation, what would he do? How would he react here? And moment after moment throughout this whole movie, we finally get to see, you know, that exasperation kind of turn into caring and care and turn into sacrifice and care and turn into thoughtfulness. And it's done in a very delicate way. And, you know, when you look back over the action scenes in Logan, there aren't that many with him, really. It's toned down compared to what we've seen of him. His daughter does a whole lot more ass kicking than Logan does in this movie. And that's one of the reasons why it was so great to see her young character here, because typically, like you said, we get Iron Man 3, we get you know, John Connor from Terminator 2,
last action hero.
You know, it's this kind of a whiny, you know, optimistic, but kind of a, I don't know, just a joyful disconnection with what's going on. And it seems to pull us out of the mood of what the movie is supposed to be about. Well, no, none of that here. And I was, when I saw her, I was like, oh crap, here we go. And then, you know, she like chopped the dude's head off and threw it in the middle of a field. I was like, okay, this might be all right. You know, she might be all right here. She's not going to candy out on us like we've seen in some other movies. So yeah, she was an interesting character. She had some very interesting things going on. and yes, I definitely like Patrick Stewart. I always like Xavier. So, you know, it broke my heart to see him that way, because when you think of how much he's done and how much he's given to all of the mutants and all of the students, you know, you're like, dang, Logan's the only one taking care of him? Really?
You know, yeah, and how is he so everybody? Poor? And like, what in the world? How did this happen?
Yeah.
That was shocking to me.
That,
how did he live in a mansion with all of those kids and now only Wolverine is the person?
Which, by the way, the mansion got blown up and then reassembled like 3 days after that. They couldn't whip him up a villa somewhere. They got to put him in a water tank. So I'm hoping that there will be some explanation to that. But the point is I'm not, you know, are we going I want to see him, and I want context to understand what's going on. But it was just so sad. It was so tragic, because they make it quite clear that his loss of control of his abilities is hurting people. Is hurting people on, you know, well, we saw it in the last X-Men movie that when his powers were hijacked, that many, many people were hurt. And it appears more of that's going on as he's gotten older. So, you know, hey, man, Xavier's a hero. I really don't like seeing that happen to him in the end. And I'm hoping that there is something that salvages that, or that explains it in a way that redeems it in some way. But that was really hard to see. And, you know, somebody could have given him an X on his gravestone. I'm just saying, the dude's name was Xavier. Come on. You know, he don't get an X. So.
Man. So, okay. I had to go to the restroom in the middle of this film. And so tell you how this happened. So I went to Tinkle. And then when I came back and sat down, oh, Logan, this is your daughter. I'm like, what the hell happened? happened a minute ago. We riding in a truck. I go to the restroom. I run. I tinkle. I come back really fast. And the next thing you know, this is his daughter. And I'm like, well, how did that happen? What happened?
Well, where did you leave off? Because
I left off. I think they were infiltrating, or maybe they were looking at the video of the or something, where they went inside the lab or something.
Okay, so yeah, they're looking at the video. Okay, now there are two instances of that. So
right, I saw the second. I saw the second
when he got the power back on. Okay,
right, but I did. I don't think I saw the first one.
Okay, well, I think that was it. The first one, she the what do you want to call her? The mom, the scientist lady, whatever, you know, the Logan's daughter's foster mom scientist.
She was a nurse.
The nurse.
She was also a nurse in Fear of the Walking Dead, but go on.
That was her.
Okay. All right. So yeah, she was undercover videotaping what she saw, the students or the kids, the engineered children in this facility. And as she goes through them, she's talking about how DNA samples were taken from other mutants and placed in the different kids. And she says in that video that, you know, she has all of your abilities, Logan. She is your daughter. She's in effect your, she says, you know, I believe I'm her mother, but in effect, she is your daughter because she has all of his genetic material in her.
Okay, so there was no like crazy mom that he accidentally got pregnant.
No.
And blah, blah, blah. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. And she abandoned and was, see. So she was already alive and she got infused with his DNA.
These kids, were grown. So, you know, when you say she was already alive, these kids were grown.
Oh, okay. So she was like chest tubed out and then grown with his DNA.
Yes, DNA grown with his DNA, and then they put the adamantium in her later. So yeah, okay. Same thing, same stuff. Although, wait a minute, you know, didn't Xavier say something about her feet blades?
They said that she had feet blades because she a female.
But adamantium is placed in you. It's but then again, but then again, they have bone knives naturally.
Right.
And the bone knives are replaced with adamantium. I was getting confused. So the fact that
You still didn't answer the question is, so did they got the DNA from Wolverine? Did they get it from him post adamantium and somehow she grew adamantium?
It's like a bone graft, because that's what it was throwing me. She had the bones. So the first question is, I don't know when they got his DNA, but they got his DNA and grew her.
Probably from the original experiments.
Or could it have been from the last movie when they made off with his DNA? Oh, no, that was for Deadpool. Anyway, okay, I got it. But anyway, so yeah, they got his DNA. They grew her with his DNA. And that, what would have been the bone spikes that she naturally would have had, then they went in and surgically replaced the bone spikes with the adamantium. And that's why she had them in her feet. Because, yes, I got it now. That's right. So, there you go.
Okay. So, what did we think about baby Wolverine?
I liked her.
I'll say this. Okay, because this reminds me of going back before the movie came out again. Okay, so when they started releasing all the teasers and the standard trailers, I got upset really fast because most of the trailers for Logan gave away many plot points for the movie.
Eric, I've started looking away now. I'm serious. I haven't seen one preview for the Alien movie that's coming out. Anytime a new blockbuster comes up, I just look away now.
Yeah, because they
entirely too much.
I'm glad you brought that one up too, because that one has done the same exact thing.
Look away, man.
That one gives away that the stuff. Yeah. Well, I did the same thing with all these movies, which is like, okay, the first initial teasers teaser trailers were okay. Like, didn't give away too much for Wolverine, Alien Covenant, whatever. But once they got to, like, the first official and then onwards, I could already tell in the first 20 seconds, not 20 seconds, like 15 seconds, oh, this is too much. And then I do the turn away, but some damage has already been done. And that happened to me with this movie and Alien Covenant. And
so what was the result of
Power Rangers?
Oh, Jesus. What was revealed too much and what upset you?
A lot of stuff about the little girl. Because when I first saw the initial trailer, I didn't know that much about the old man Logan backstory. And when I saw just the teaser trailer that kind of hinted at things, my mind went to all kinds of places of like what this could mean, Logan with this little girl, because it reminded me of a different storyline in the X-Men comics. And I was kind of excited thinking about that. Like, could it be that? Could it be that? And then when I saw like an official trailer, I was like, oh no, it's not that, because it's obviously this, because it's so in the trailer. So that kind of actually dulled my enthusiasm a bit, because I was like, oh, well, they already told me what this is going to be in the trailer. So I was like, all right. So then, it kind of deflated me. And so they basically gave up a lot of stuff about the little girl, like, right away in the trailer campaigns. And that was not cool. Now, I will say, after seeing the whole movie, thankfully, in retrospect, a lot of stuff they give away is only in the first third of the movie. They don't give away the whole entire movie. Okay, fine. I guess you get points for that. But still, I did not appreciate that, though. They basically spoil the whole first third of the movie if you watch the trailers. So then, in some of that spoilery stuff, I'm seeing the little girl and I'm seeing what she can do in the trailers. And I was like, wow, I don't know. This is not interesting to me in the trailer. And then also Stranger Things had come out, right? We've all seen Stranger Things, and I got affected in this weird kind of way where I was like, wow, if any movie has a character who's like a girl who's like 12 years old, it needs to be her, because like nobody else can do these parts anymore. Like, she's the only one, like 11. And I saw this girl in these trailers for Logan, and I was like, no, I don't know who this girl is. They should bring 11 or somebody.
There was a twinge of that. I admit. Yeah.
That was before I saw the movie. Yeah. Okay. Now that I've seen the whole movie, the girl didn't start, the actress and the character did not start growing on me until around somewhere midway in the movie. She really actually started growing on me the first time she spoke words. It was around that time, and then it turned, and then by the end of the movie, I was like, oh, you know what? This is good. She's great. And so my whole opinion has flipped now on her and her character and her portrayal, and I felt much more satisfied by the end of the movie.
One thing that I thought was interesting about how her character was portrayed is that it felt kind of like Logan over the movies, where early on all you see is this anger and you don't really get to know who the character is, and there's just sort of this rage, and then slowly she opens up and you see that, you know, she's got a mind and she's got a kindness and she's got a friends and she's got, and all, it was sort of like it was like Wolverine just fast forwarded.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think that is an excellent way to put it. Yeah. I think it was like the mini Wolverine story played out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is, yeah, I didn't thought of that. Oh, and my other little minor knock on her and on the movie is that there were times, just a few specific times, where she was going crazy on the Reavers or whoever, the mercenaries. there was a few moments where it was a bit much for me, where, and I think other people have said this, she's a little bit like Yoda in Attack of the Clones, like going a little bit too crazy on screen.
Oh, you mean the flipping motions and stuff?
Yeah, this little creature just going berserk on the screen. There's times where it works, but there was a few times where it just jumped the shark a little bit for me, where it was just a little bit much. Because it almost made it seem like humorous because it just didn't look realistic. But these are just specific moments, though, that almost threw me out of the movie. But no, it was fine, though, overall, I guess. But she was great. She was really great.
I thought she was good.
Mm. And I didn't expect her to speak Spanish when she did. And I thought that was a good touch.
Yeah, that made total sense. It made total sense, given where they were.
Oh, okay. I was just like, how did that make total sense? But okay, you talk about location. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's that, but then there's also kind of the real world allegory that they grafted onto the story.
Yeah.
It kind of plays into that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, Carl, you said something about us getting to know Logan. Mm-hmm. And you said you felt like you knew him. I mean, I don't feel like I know him. I feel like this is him in every movie that he's been in. I'm not really sure I know anything different. Bothered by that, but what was it?
There has been an arc, I think, of his character over the movies. It's been a little bit messy at times or inconsistent, but there's a definite arc, and Carl kind of just talked about it when he was talking about the little journey of the girl's character just in this singular movie. It's kind of, that's what the Wolverine character went through, because if you go back, it kind of works. Again, if you throw out all the stuff that muddies the waters, in the very beginning of the first X-Men movie, when Professor X first starts, when they try to bring Logan into the family, so to speak, and they've come so far from those, and if you remember the initial meeting of them, and Wolverine not wanting to have anything to do with Xavier or the school or anything, and Xavier is trying to be like his surrogate father and trying to take him in and trying to tame the beast, so to speak. And that's how they initially meet in the first movie. And now juxtapose that to Logan, he's a changed man from that character, and now he is taking care of his surrogate father. It works in the broad strokes. And there's a definite arc there. And now he's the much older, wiser, reflexive. And now you see him with X-23, his daughter. You see him trying to pass that on to her, as Xavier did to him. Because it was actually a generational movie for the characters. They were like all surrogate parents. It was three generations: the grandfather, the father, and the son, and the daughter.
Yep,
that's good stuff, man. It's really good stuff.
On a road trip, all of them together.
Yeah.
And you know, just to...
The director said he had many influences, the director of the movie, he had many movie influences that he had in mind, and one of his movies in mind was Little Miss Sunshine.
yeah, I got that. I totally saw that. Yeah. Totally saw that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I was talking about, I felt like I got to know Logan a little more in this movie. One of the other things I noticed is Wolverine and Logan seemed to react a lot to things in the previous movies. You know, when I said, you know, do you get to know him? He was always responding to a pressure, or responding to a situation, or you know, reacting to something. I mean, I can't remember just sitting down and talking to him or him having something to say. And when you watch this movie, you know, clearly he's got a grumpy roommate that he looks after. He's taking care of his ailing pop. He's got a daughter going on. And you hear, it's not even just in groans or facial expressions. You actually hear him talking about, oh, you know, I got to take care of this guy again. Or, you know, are you gonna go out and take care of this time? You know, he's having actual meaningful conversations with people around him. And it connects you with him in a way that we didn't get to see. So it was cool. And the other thing is, you know, when you see that scruffy guy driving the limos around, you get the feeling that, you know, he might also be a bodyguard. If you know, some of them kids got a little unruly or something happened, that, you know, he'd step in to take care of things. He was going to protect his folks. So it just, you know, it just seemed to bring us a little closer to him.
So did you, I forgot what I was going to ask about that. But one of the actors that I noticed that was also in the film was Stephen Merchant, and he was the albino.
Yes.
Was he just a new character, or is he some?
No.
What is he?
Well, he's one of the longtime comic book characters, but putting that aside.
Is he new to us in this film?
No.
What other film has he been? What other film was he in?
They actually planted little seeds in the previous X-Men film, that being Apocalypse. X-Men Apocalypse.
So that actor was in Apocalypse?
The actor wasn't, but the character was. Caliban was.
Oh. How is that? You're being explained. You stopped talking.
Caliban, he, in the Apocalypse movie, he was working with Psylocke, and she had that underground casino operation. And Caliban was like her right-hand man. Different actor, same character. Okay. They laid some other seeds, by the way, for the Logan movie in the Apocalypse movie. Okay, so the guy who runs the company, what is the company called?
Terrigen
or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. Whatever they're called. I'm not sure if that's right, but that company. Richard E. Grant in the Logan movie. They planted some Easter eggs, but seeds for his storyline in Apocalypse. Because if you remember in the Apocalypse movie, Wolverine had like a cameo, sort of, where they kind of sprung him.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was not a small scene. Yes.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, he wasn't in the whole movie. It was a cameo, so to speak.
Yeah, he only saved everyone and killed most of the people. So, yes, I remember that scene.
Okay, well, one of the characters who gets killed in that scene, who's like just a random scientist at Transigen, where Logan's being held in Apocalypse, one of the scientists who gets killed when he escapes is supposed to be Xander Rice's father. And that is why, that's kind of what propels Xander Rice in Logan, his character, to do whatever he does, because Logan killed his father in Apocalypse.
Okay.
So.
All right, that's what I was wondering about the timeline. So the samples that they pulled out of Logan in Apocalypse, did that go in the kids, or was that before? Did they get samples before? Because, you know, they walk out with what I thought were Deadpool samples at the end of Apocalypse. Was that Apocalypse, or was that Apocalypse and the kids?
Oh, geez. You know, oh my gosh.
Listeners,
I don't know.
It's
difficult because you see, now there was the post credit scenes for Apocalypse, mm-hmm. which initially they said was going to tie into Logan, but they didn't fully tie it into that movie. But they say they're still going to tie it more into the forthcoming X-Men movie that they're working on right now.
Right.
And so there's another. I don't know. Is this spoilers? I don't know. They've alluded through Easter eggs that there's a bigger bad on the horizon, and the bigger bad was behind what was happening in Apocalypse, and the bigger bad was behind what was happening in this movie, Logan.
Okay.
As all well. Right. And that ties into what you're talking about, Carl.
Okay.
Is this bigger bad in the shadows.
All right. Yeah, because they make a big deal about stealing his sample. So yes. I was trying to figure out, yes. you know, where correct. It went. So all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yes.
Well, I think the point I was making with Stephen Merchant, the actor, is he was in this really great travel show called An Idiot Abroad. with Ricky Gervais and this guy named Carl. Have y'all seen it?
I have not seen that one.
I have seen previews for it.
It is the most excellent travel show ever.
Is it like a real life travel show a faux?
It's a real life travel show, but instead of like sophisticated people analyzing cultures, he just goes and complains a lot. But he's like you or me if I went traveling, like things that you'd say inside of your brain but you never say to the cultures that you're visiting, he just says them and you keep them to yourself. You know,
does.
No, not Merchant, but the guy named Carl. Gervais. But named Carl. Carl. The guy named Carl does it, but Gervais and Stephen Merchant assigns him these places to go, and they give him the crappiest hotels, and they give him like the crappiest challenges to do, but they send him everywhere in the world for free. And so those who are just torturing this guy, and it's pretty fantastic.
And of course, you know, Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais, you know, they're the original creators of The Office, of course.
Yeah.
That's where I know him from.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, that's why I was very pleased to see him in the movie, because I had no idea he was going to show up. And I haven't seen the travel show, but in the other few appearances of Merchant that I've seen, yeah, I'm a big fan.
I didn't think he was an actor. I thought maybe he was just a comedian or just the guy, you know, this guy.
Yeah, he is more
behind the scene, but
he is more that. In you're right, his acting is a little bit more limited, but he has had little things here and there where he's popped up.
Well, I liked him. It was unexpected. I was like, I didn't realize you were an actor, dude. And it was just fun to kind of see him from like clowning around with Ricky Gervais and Carl and. It's not a Shakespearean serious role, but you know, it's very visible. So, yeah.
He's sharing the stage with a Shakespearean actor, so there you go.
Yeah, by association, he's serious. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. What do you think about some of the scenes where Wolverine is fighting and? What does it look like to you? Are you impressed with the fighting? What are your thoughts?
Well, he definitely fought a little more geriatric this time. it's kind of a hard balance because the early movies with him in it, if they weren't the X-Men movies, if the early Wolverine movies, the fight scenes seemed a little over the top. I think they got the balance right in the X-Men movies, but his movies, his fight scenes seemed just a little over the top, a little bit too much. And in this movie, because it was really more about his personality and getting to know him, I really didn't think there was enough fighting with him in this movie, but it was okay. Because, you know, one, we were appreciating that he was getting older, and two, this to me was more about getting to know him. So it felt like, to me, there was less Wolverine fighting, real scrapping going on. It's, you know, even the opening scene with him messing with the guys trying to take his wheels, even that seemed very restrained and simply shot. For what would have been a typical Wolverine slaying, you know, it just seemed a little quieter, a little more low key, not nearly as big as what we have seen. And if that's what I went to the movie for, I think I would have been disappointed. Mm. But I wanted to get to know Logan, so it was good, but. Not as big as I think we could have seen from him.
Was he having an allergic reaction to the adamantium? What was going? Why was he sick and not healing properly?
Yes, that was the main point in the movie. That is what was killing him, and he finally explains it towards the end. You have to kind of like suss it out during the movie. I was actually a little bit off because He eventually reveals that is the reason why he's been dying is because of the adamantium. But along the way, when he was dropping hints, I kind of took it the wrong way in my head. Because they had said earlier in the movie, I think one of the bad guys or someone alluded that there's something in him poisoning him.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, well, yes, that's what they said earlier to tease it. But see, I took it the wrong way in my headcanon or my head fic. I was thinking off that line that the Logan character had intentionally poisoned himself with something. Because I was thinking that he was intentionally trying to end his own life. And the only way he could is if he found something that was so toxic. So that's what the direction I thought this was going. And I thought he was so ill and ailing. Because I thought, because I'm thinking like vampires and stuff, meaning how vampires always suffer with like the immortality situation, like over time. Yeah. Like eventually they go crazy and then it's not worth it anymore. They just want to kill. So I thought that Logan's character was having like a vampire situation and finally decided like it's not worth it anymore. So I thought he was poisoning himself intentionally. But obviously, no, it didn't go that way. It was just the adamantium itself.
I'm glad you explained it because I, too, was thinking that there was some kind of poisoning. I was also thinking that maybe it was a side effect from the old Yakuza boss stealing his life force in the Wolverine.
Oh, right. So, you were thinking of far ahead.
So I was thinking that, you know, because he took quite a bit from him. In that movie, and so because remember half of that movie he was trying to get rid of his abilities, his ability. So I thought he had sufficiently, or he had stolen so much from him that he was never fully recovering, or you know, something like that was going on. Is why he was having the accelerated, allergic reaction or accelerated aging or inability to heal.
But after all this time of being in him, what is it, just turning against him at this point? I don't understand. Is it leaking? Is it deteriorating? Like, I don't understand the science.
It was always a toxic metal, which is why they had to put it in somebody that heals the way he does. So it was, that's why you can just put it in anybody. They had to put it in, you know, the guy who can constantly regenerate so it wouldn't kill him. But you know, I guess it finally got the better of him. But like, yeah, I'm still thinking Yakuza stole something from him because he didn't look right at the end of that movie. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure they explained it explicitly by the end of the movie. As explained. But I had two thoughts to your previous question, Kat, about the fight scenes and the Wolverine scenes. Mm-hmm. Two thoughts. One was, I mean, I liked it generally. But, of course, you have the scene where old man faces X-24, his younger clone.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. And, I mean, it conjures images. My first thought was Superman 3. But then Terminator. my second thought was Terminator, Genesis or whatever. Yeah. Which made it less cool in my mind. I mean, No. I liked it when they did it in Genesis. But then I didn't like seeing it. I didn't want this to remind me of that. Yeah. But it was fine. No, but then going to what Carl said, about the fighting, how Wolverine in this is a bit more restrained, for sure. And actually, I liked it. I liked it being a bit more restrained. But what I also think kind of counterbalanced that, like if you were looking for more, I think what kind of counterbalanced that, because I was wondering how you guys and everybody felt about this obviously having like an R rating, and this is the first time the Wolverine character has been, you know, in an X-Men movie with an R rating, and it's very, very apparent. I'm just talking about the violence aspect. It's very apparent there's an R rating, and I was wondering, did that work for you guys? Because that made a big difference with how these fight scenes came off, and it is a bit jarring if you're used to all the other X-Men movies, Deadpool excluded. So I'm wondering, did that work for you? Because I think it helped balance it, because there was, it made the fight seem less like Matrix gymnastics that you're used to, and more like, oh shit, there's like instant consequences because people are getting killed really quick. Rather, because that's the other thing that takes you out of some movies is when characters are just dancing around doing like ballet for really long periods of time. That's kind of weird. But here, characters, many of his opponents, you know, lasted less than 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, you're not going to last long against Wolverine.
So I did notice
you didn't?
R rating.
No, but forget the rating, but just based on the visuals, you didn't feel something was different?
It didn't feel any different than any other film at all.
What?
It did not feel gorier.
The rolling hand didn't do it for you?
I feel like I've seen that before on Walking Dead. Movies, is Walking Dead rated R? No.
Yes, it's TV mature, whatever that means. But that's no. In other movies, we've definitely seen other movies, but not X-Men movies, and not superhero movies, except maybe like Spawn or something.
I've seen so many things. It was just like, oh, this is run of the mill. And I mean, well, not run of the mill where I was bored. It was just like it wasn't shocking or jarring to me at all. No, it wasn't.
Think about the comic book movies, whether it's Avengers or Superman. When have you seen gore like that? Again, Deadpool's the only example.
Which is R for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't think really about it like that. Wow. I didn't think about it like that because it was so different. There was like me constantly adjusting to it being so different that I didn't notice it. It just was not shocking to me. It wasn't shocking.
Well, the shock worked on me.
Really?
Again, in any other superhero movies or X-Men movies, like, Wolverine was always skewering people and slashing people, but they always cut it in such a way that you never got the money shot.
Yep.
And they also greatly reduced the blood quotient.
Yep.
Like, extremely, like, in the prior movies.
I guess this mind fills in the blank, and so it just, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I agree with Eric. I felt it, but again, what made it even more jarring to me, not just that it was rated R, but the majority of the really, really gory violent scenes were done by the little girl. That's what was really messing with me. When she jumped on a dude and just starts, you know, wailing at its rib cage and you're seeing mess flying out. This is not your average X-Men movie. And so I thought it was cool, and I thought that the rage was amplified because we saw that. It's not like a regular.
And I also feel, speaking for the movies again, in the movie universe, it added to the Wolverine character feeling much more substantial to me.
Yep.
To not see the sterilized version of his fighting. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess gotten so dark and so intense, and it's been a progression that this film just feels right in line with what we've been seeing lately, or what I've been looking at. I'm not really sure. I was not jarred. I'm sorry. And you know what? The fact that you two were makes me like, what? Well, then what? Because usually I'm sensitive to those things,
I'm curious too. What was Suicide Squad rated? I'm pretty sure it was 13. It was 13, right? It was PG-13. Because I was gonna say that was something that kind of threw me in that movie too. Because again, Deadpool, as we keep saying, was rated R, and it had some of these gory elements, and there was a thousand articles written about that at the time. Because you know it's the highest grossing rated R movie ever. Deadpool is, and so people were wondering if Suicide Squad, which came out after it, was going to follow suit. But no, they decided to keep it PG-13, and that was another aspect that hurt me with Suicide Squad, because they were trying to make everything seem like these tough thugs and all this violence. But when you make it cartoony, I mean when you take out the blood and you take out the viciousness. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes things feel almost a little farcical to me. And that is one of the components of Suicide Squad that took me out of that movie, that made it feel more like a cartoon with a live action cartoon.
I agree.
Whereas Wolverine, or Logan, I mean, doesn't feel that way at all.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't it really brings it Yeah, it makes it more real. It makes me take the characters, the situations, the story much more seriously the way it was done. So yeah. I think this Wolverine movie benefited greatly from that.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't
go too far either. Because no. If you go too far, it ends up... I haven't seen all the Resident Evil movies, but I've seen like the first one.
Yeah.
And there's some gore in that, but it's like it's comical because it goes too far in that way. But this doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, in the natural world, when you watch a Wolverine attack, there's a speed and a ferocity to it that is characteristic of a Wolverine. This movie was the first time I really got to see it. I mean, I felt it. Particularly with the girl, but a little bit with Logan. This is the first time I felt it when I was watching it in one of these movies. And yeah, it's because you are not going to be walking away from a Wolverine attack. There's no poetry. There's no grace in dancing around. It's on you and it's over. So,
you know, another thing, I was kind of grateful that they had the, what did you call him? The X-23 or something? Wolverine?
That was 24. The little girl's 23.
Okay, so X-24 clone Wolverine younger. I'm glad they put him in the film because I started looking at Hugh Jackman. I was like, damn, that dude is old. How did he get so old so fast and all this stuff? And I was just like, oh, that's extra makeup. And so that must mean that Patrick Stewart, because he looks like he's about to die in this film. Oh,
certainly. Were you not wearing your glasses? There's no way.
Maybe I was.
They definitely aged up Patrick Stewart because they made him look old as dirt.
Yeah.
I thought so because some pictures I see of him, he doesn't look, you know, he looks old. But I was just like, wow, these guys look really super old. They have the liver spots and everything. And I was just like,
And the 72-hour shadows. Those dudes were not shaving anywhere.
And I, when I saw X-24, I was just like, oh, girl, woo. He not that old looking. Because because usually when you see old age makeup, it looks so tacky and fake and it takes you out of it. But this was so subtle and so good that it actually fooled me for a while. And I enjoyed the makeup here and they did a really good job with it. So
yeah,
it really made you feel the age. Yeah.
He was looking rough in this movie. I was like, oh, Patrick, come on, man.
Because you know he's old actually, but I was just like, I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was like, damn, what the hell?
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough.
So,
let me ask you guys about this. What'd you think of the family stuff?
Oh, I was waiting for someone to bring that up.
Yeah, what'd you think of the family stuff?
What, in Vegas?
No, what?
No, no. The cornfield farm.
The cornfield family.
The cornfield?
Oh, yes, cat. Cat. How long were you in the restroom?
wait, what happened with the corn?
It's the whole movie.
I'm sorry, with the guy from Coming to America.
Okay. Yes, right. That guy. Yes.
I knew they were gonna die because anytime Wolverine has a film and he meets some nice family with a nice farm and stuff like that, they die. So I knew they were gonna die.
I was hoping he'd make it this time. I thought maybe this time they'd be all right.
And they black too.
That was just the icing on the cake. Icing on the cake.
You knew they was going to die.
I was like, man. Although Dad did get one good shot in on the with the X-24. He got a good shot in on that one. But
although he wanted to kill Logan himself as well.
Yeah, but see, that's because he thought it was X-23.
No,
he didn't. He
no, not X-20. No. He pulled, but he was one shell short.
Eric LaSalle.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Wackdonald's.
Okay. So
glow.
So I only had like a couple minor problems with the movie as a whole, and one of them points to the family there and the situation. Because, yeah, like you said, you think it's a recurring gag throughout Wolverine's history in the movies that, yeah, if he stays too long or, you know, this and that, innocent collateral damage always happens. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed too, because obviously that's been like Wolverine's, that's been his whole MO in the movies. So therefore, it was bugging me, like, this, like the characters in the movie, like Professor X and Wolverine, isn't this the worst idea ever? Like, you're just trying to get to Eden. Like, why are you going to stay with this family? I couldn't figure out why. Now, the way they try to justify it, I guess, in the story is that Professor X wanted this one moment of, like, sort of living, like, a normal life.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how they try to justify it.
Yeah, yeah. That was weird.
But no! This is, like, it's doesn't, that's, see, this is part of the logic of the
price?
Movie that bothered
at
me.
What
yeah,
price?
It was a Vim price. It's too damn high.
So the logic of the decision, like, that kind of hurt me a bit, because I don't know how Wolverine could go along with this. It didn't make any sense.
He put up with us?
To stay there. He did, but not enough. And all I could think about was the old family, the barn couple in the Wolverine Origins movie.
He got a yeah. great jacket and a motorcycle
like,
out of it.
I know, but I was like, how could he not be thinking about that, including countless other times when this has happened to him? Like, and so that bugged me, because there's yeah. no reason to stay. And then we all see what happened. Like, wow, really?
It was
go down.
It was very divisive. And I was just I was hoping that there was going to be some reason for it. Like, I thought that maybe, just maybe, that, you know, the parents might get it, but the son was a mutant or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, I thought the son was going to be a mutant, too.
Right? You know, something that would have explained why, you know, Xavier would have risked that much to get him there. But nope, not that either.
They were there just, to die.
Yeah.
So that was, like I said, that was one of the plot-pointing parts of the movie that bothered me. There was one before that, one after that. The one before that was when, earlier in the movie, when Logan just tells Caliban to go take care of that guy's body.
Yeah.
Come on.
Everybody knew that was going to be... It was basically like telling the red shirt to go check behind that rock. That was all the fun.
Yeah.
He just knew.
It was a double whammy, though, because not only did it set up him getting away and getting his forces together and coming to attack him, but then it also put Caliban in their clutches so that they could use Caliban to find him later at the Oklahoma casino. So I was not pleased with that kind of signposting and coincidence. And then the last one, the last egregious error was the photograph having the coordinates on the back. Remember?
Yeah.
Because that's how the bad guys found where Eden was, because they got the photograph. I'm like, really? You're going to have your telephone address? Like, leave a calling card? those are the only parts of the movie that, like, I wish there could have been a more creative way to keep things humming along. That's it. If it wasn't for that, it would have been a near perfect movie for me personally. Just those.
I respected the need for the family in terms of the close moment, you know, the family moment that they all shared together, but it did seem a little egregious given
careless.
What went down.
Yeah.
And yeah, certainly careless. And yeah, they I went, come on, when he flipped over the and it had the coordinates on the picture. I was like, I actually said, come on, in the theater. Because it was just too convenient.
So Eden and the kids, the mutant kids, I thought they were like, they needed a little bit more training, because X-Men, they were not. I felt like they didn't use their powers enough to get away. Like, why did they get rounded up and all that before they started, like, shooting fire and shooting, you know, this thing and the other
thing? I'm going to use the power that takes the most possible time and stand completely still while I'm doing it, because the border's right there. That's what everyone did. One at a time,
yeah.
Let's stop and use our powers individually on one guy, and it was not a team effort, and clearly, if they had worked together as a team, a lot more people would have been just fine at the end of this. So yeah, that they could be some issues. Let's see, that's what happens. You know, having
what bothered me with them is that the day before that happened, when Richter, the short kid and running the camp, was just explaining how we just need to get to the border. It's going to be like a 8-mile walk. We'll even first thing in the morning. And I was just like, what?
It's 8 miles. Go now.
Exactly. Exactly. But of course, because they have to set up the final confrontation. I get it. But yeah, but that's the same reason why they had to get rounded up one by one, because they weren't working as a team and because they were scared and blah, blah, blah. It's nice to know, though, from a comic book standpoint, Richter and a few of the other characters, they are other characters from the X-Men universe. Like Richter was like one of the New Mutants. So it's nice that they're kind of weaving it all in, I guess. And one of my friends who saw the movie with me, he liked seeing the X-Men comic books in the movie, like the meta references.
Oh, I like that
in that kind of way. I was cool with that.
I liked it in the sense of, it lets the audience know that the comic books exist in their world. And it also, I don't know, it made me happy in a way. Like somewhere down the line, it's going to mean something more than what we've seen in the film or something. I don't know.
Well, I just liked it because it gave them the proper guide for shaving Wolverine's beard. I just thought that
was... I didn't think about that, but that's pretty cool.
I'm glad they stopped at the beard. It didn't go with, you know, the little ears on the head, the horns. that would have been hilarious. But
he's worn his hair like that before. I'm glad he didn't in this film. I'm glad they dispensed with that. That was fun. So, would you want to see another film with these kids?
Well, fans, since Deadpool, or I don't know, who knows when, everyone's been wanting either a New Mutants movie or an X-Force. It gets complicated to explain all that stuff. But so people have been wanting that, especially since Deadpool, because of what's-her-name... little X-Men Jr. who was in the movie, because he had Colossus and he had the girl. I can't think of her name right now. In the Deadpool movie.
No.
In the Deadpool movie.
Angsty teenager.
Oh, those two. Yeah, her.
Okay. Because of her character and her appearance, she sparked everyone wanting a New Mutants movie, because she was kind of wearing the uniform that they wear, and she basically was like a New Mutant, meaning, you know, like the junior squad. Right. And that's kind of like what these kids with the junior squad.
It's all about the charisma, because that could go very, very wrong. But those two in the last X-Men movie, I mean, in the Deadpool movie, those two were fun. I mean, you know, her goth and bad attitude, but, you know, still kind of cool there, and the metal guy. They were a really interesting team. So if they can maintain that level of energy and fun, that would be great. But, I mean, look, if we think back over even the original X-Men movies, I mean, you know, even with our dear Halle Berry, there were teams where the crew just didn't ring well together. And, you know, it was good to see the costumes, and it was good to you know, have the expectations and to finally see live action X-Men. But the people, you know, the personalities of the characters didn't really ring true. And we have seen this again and again and again with the X-Men movies. And I'd say only a third of the time have they gotten it really right. So to try to bring out yet a new generation with kids, if they don't have the charisma, if they don't have the writing behind them, I don't know. I don't know. Because, hey, even this last, the last X-Men movie, my favorite scene didn't make the movie. And in my opinion, that would have made the movie, which is, of course, the kids in the mall, you know, and it was them cutting up and the banter between them in the mall. That was fun. And it was, and that's what made the younger generation interesting and engaging. But that wasn't in the movie. All we saw was, you know.
That made me mad, by the way, how short that was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Quicksilver, of course. Everybody loves Quicksilver, but still.
But Kat, fans of the X-Men in general, like from the comics, really want something, either New Mutants or X-Force. Which in the comic books, New Mutants were the, again, they were the junior squad, like the newbies for the, like, Xavier school or whatever, the B team. But then in the comic books, they eventually morphed, they grew up, and they morphed to X-Force. And the short version of explaining X-Force is they were kind of like the, they were the X-Men with, like, a bent moral compass. Mm. Like, X-Men Extreme, like, they would do things that wouldn't necessarily be condoned, you know. And so a lot of people want that, too, is because of Deadpool, because it would basically be a rated R X-Men movie is what people would want. You know, X-Men doing shady moral things, you know, for the greater good and stuff like that. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But that's what fans keep talking about and keep hoping about, is that. So, but who knows? Because they still got to do Deadpool 2. And we already know who he's teaming up with in that movie because they can't keep anything a secret. They have to, like, just promote everything.
I have no idea who he's teaming up with.
I haven't seen it, so I've avoided the previews. I don't know.
Well, if you...
You don't have the film. No.
You don't, yeah, you don't,
no,
really.
No, I don't. No, I'm not going to tell you. But all you got to do is just watch the Easter egg for the Deadpool movie, and it's there in the Easter egg. Like, it's not hidden. It's straight.
Firefly.
No. Did you see the Firefly? Did you see the Firefly poster?
Yeah, that's why. That's who they're teaming up with.
Okay. No. Don't help. Don't help. This is not. That's not it. So, all right. Great. That's great.
So, what did y'all think about the teaser being before the movie and no after credits thing?
I'm fine with it.
I didn't realize that's what I was looking at when I saw it.
Well, it's not really the app. It's sort of its own standalone thing.
Well, no, they said I've read that was the after credits thing before the credits, and they put it before the credits because they thought that it would be too much of a tone change.
Yeah, I agree. You know, to go from the loss of all of the guys to all of a sudden, hey, I'm changing in the phone booth. Here's my butt. You know, I
didn't know that, but I think I agree. It's a good decision, though. I didn't know it was originally going to be post. It's better pre. But when I saw it, when it started rolling, I thought thoughts in my head was, why does Wolverine look like Deadpool? When they just showed the character.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Yeah, that got me.
But it was good though. I mean, obviously it was good. A good teaser, and obviously I'm down with the Deadpool movie, and yeah. But if you watch the Easter egg for the first Deadpool movie, they tell you straight to your face what to expect in the sequel.
What did they say? Because I must have forgot. Because
Do you want me to say? It's not really a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. Say it.
Unless you forgot the Easter egg. Because if you remember, he breaks the fourth wall in the bathrobe. In the Easter egg, and he's just basically tell you, oh yeah, you know it's gonna be a Deadpool too. And we're going to have Cable in it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, that was just what he said in the Easter egg. But now we all know that is what's going to happen. That's part of what's going to... There's a character named Cable who is a significant character in the X-Men universe. And he's going to be in the sequel.
I guess that's why it flew over my head, because I thought Cable TV.
Right.
So what do you guys think about both Professor X and Wolverine dying in this film?
Well, it was a bold choice. I mean, on one hand, realistically, it made sense. You know, given where things were going, the time period they were at, and the stakes in this movie, it made sense on that side. But again, it just broke my heart because I like the character so much. Again, you know, they couldn't give Xavier a Star Trek ending, right? You know, where they just put him in a fantasy world or something. You know, all the kids couldn't come together and patch him up or, you know, something. I was really pulling for Xavier. And of course, you know, Wolverine's got to go out like the hero.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was touching. I thought it was well done. I thought it added to the movie, not just the one loss, but the double loss. But at the same time, if you ever read comic books, you know, characters die all the time and they get brought back all the time. There's a thousand different ways you can get brought back in a comic book universe. So I never think they're completely gone. Plus, you know, there's going to be more X-Men movies. You're still going to have some younger version of Professor X running around doing something. He's like, again, they've all been killed in the comics before. They've all come back in different kind of ways. So it's like, yeah, nothing's ever permanent. And as we stated earlier in the podcast, you know, Hugh Jackman has been saying this is going to be his final appearance in the role as Wolverine. But he has also gone on to say as well that there is a way he would come back to play the role. Hugh Jackman really wants to see Wolverine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Disney movie universe. So Hugh Jackman has said if that opportunity ever comes up, he is there. Otherwise, he says the character's retired.
Okay. Well, there's a condition, huh?
Good. Yeah.
So I personally don't want to see those same kids that were in the film, even the Wolverine girl. Don't want to see them ever again. I'm done with them. They were fine for the film, but none of them were engaging or I wasn't attached to any of them. And I could go my whole life and not see them anymore. As far as both Wolverine and Professor X dying at the end, I liked it. I thought it was, like Carl said, a bold choice. I thought it made sense for this film. It is far in the future, so if they wanted to do something bizarre and come to modern times, you still have the modern times to get it, because wasn't like, what was the Japan movie? And oh yeah, it was in World War II or something. You know, there's so many things that we did not touch. We just kind of fast forwarded to the end of how everything is going to end up. And what if this is an alternate future? You know, we don't really know what we saw, but I know what we saw was good. And I don't personally want to see the hand coming up out of the grave and he's alive. You know what I mean? I don't think him not being able to heal himself makes sense unless they could have given me something about as you age, the adamant, you know, your body will, you can't regenerate as often. No one ever really said that. He just said, oh, it's maybe an allergy or it's attacking my body or it's a poison inside. I wish they would have been explained it more or better. It was fine the way they explained it because we got it, but I still wanted to throw a little science in there for some reason, you know, just to have some facts. But I think the writer or the director had to yell at some people for hating on this film, and I think that was people to hate this film. It's a little unnecessary. It's fine. I don't know what people were expecting. I didn't know what to expect, and I just kind of went in blind. And I think another reason why the violence didn't bother me is because I just let the film wash over me, and I did not know what to expect. So I just kept like, okay, and okay, let's bring this. Okay, and I just like, give me more. Let me make a decision. Give me more. And so I was just like, you know, I guess maybe I was looking at a clinical fact. I don't know, but in an enjoyable clinical fact, I don't know. But I don't know. It was good to me. I liked it. Could I say that this is the best Wolverine film for me? I don't really remember a lot about the Japan film, but when you brought it up, I was like, I liked that.
If we're focusing strictly on the Wolverine character, this is by far and away the best movie from a Wolverine perspective. Yeah. That's easy to say, I think.
Well, I agree. No disagreement from me on that. I think it's pretty clear.
Now, when I look at the X-Men movie series as a whole, and I it's difficult because it's all over the place.
Yep.
There's different things that are great about different ones, and they're mostly pretty good. I don't know. It's a strong movie, though. Strong. And it'll be interesting to see what numbers it does at the end of its run. Because who knows? Maybe it'll be the second highest grossing after Deadpool as for X-Men movies. Who knows? Or second highest for an R-rated movie. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, awesome. It will. So, any last thoughts other than those last thoughts?
No, when that cross turned to the X, boy, I was about lost it right there in the movie. Right there, the kids just do a little turn as the movie was ending. That was very touching.
I expected it.
You expected that?
I felt nothing.
Yes.
When
they showed the cross, I was like, it's gonna be an X, and then all right.
Like, oh, okay, that's fine.
No, it was cool though. It
was just a bunch of sticks that's gonna get knocked down the first time it rains or the wind blows.
Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you?
It wasn't permanent, so like.
I get that, but what in the world?
It was fine. I didn't care about the X. I just cared it was a really good film. It was a great journey. Well done. Nicely done. Okay, so that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. You can go to our website at scifipartyline.com and leave us a message. We can be reached at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter. You can like our Facebook page. You can join our Facebook discussion group. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
End of line.